Amen. Merry Christmas. It's so exciting to get to say this. I love how in the Lord's providence, just how our calendar goes, and we are thankful to the God who gives so many good gifts to us, and then very next week, we turn around and celebrate not just that he has given us gifts and given us things, but he has given us his Son for eternal life. What a joy to celebrate this season of Christmas. If you will, please take your copy of God's Word and turn to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs chapter 31. I'm so thankful for those who just served in decorating and making the place look so wonderful and delightful as we come into this Christmas season. We are finishing our study of the book of Proverbs, this series that we have titled The Fear of the Lord. And as we read this text even this morning, you'll find that that phrase, the fear of the Lord, that's introduced in chapter 1, verse 7, where Solomon says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, Proverbs ends with this reminder of the woman who fears the Lord. Fearing the Lord is worshipful submission to God in all of my life. Not just when I'm at church on Sunday, but with my words, with my money, with my friendships, with the way I relate to other people. And today, we're going to see the fear of the Lord in our home. Next week, we will begin a study of the gospel according to Matthew. And yes, that is time for the Christmas season. But we'll stay in Matthew past Christmas as we continue to go. Let's read God's word together, Proverbs chapter 31, verses 10 through 31. This is God's word. An excellent wife, who can find? She is far more precious than jewels. The heart of her husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not harm all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and works with willing hands. She is like the ships of the merchant. She brings her food from afar. She rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and portions for her maidens. She considers a field and buys it. With the fruit of her hands, she plants a vineyard. She dresses herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out at night. She puts her hand to the distaff, and her hands hold the spindle. She opens her hand to the poor and reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household are clothed in scarlet. She makes bed coverings for herself. Her clothing is like fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them. She delivers sashes to the merchant. Strength and dignity are in her clothing, and she laughs at the time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many women have done excellently, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. Lord Jesus, we celebrate your advent this time of the year. We're thankful for the gift of your word, the gift of salvation. And Lord Jesus, we come as a grateful people and worship to you. Help us, Lord, this morning to see where our hearts have turned from you, how we need to come back to you. Help us, Lord, through your gospel to believe in you. Lord, I pray for one here today who has not trusted in Christ, that today that they will believe, that this passage will call us to you as we reflect upon your birth and look forward in anticipation to your second coming. And it's the name of Jesus, the risen Savior, we pray. Amen. God's wisdom is a matter of the heart. It isn't just intellect, it's not just about what you know, but God's wisdom is reflected in our hearts. It's about a heart posture towards God. All in the opening 10 chapters of Proverbs, Solomon instructs his son by saying, God is concerned about your heart. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Guard your heart, for from it flows the rivers of life. And then after the 10 chapters of the introduction, Solomon expands the wisdom of God that's seen in everyday life. And here in Proverbs 31, we see the heart brought back into fullness. Does my heart fear God? You see, the thing about the heart is that the heart can only be faked. It can only be kind of given as a phony for a little while. The real heart, the real person, over time comes out in all of life. It's possible to be a fake at work and to do this. It may be possible to be a fake in this area of your life. But one place where you can't fake it over time is in your home. You see, in your home life, the real person comes out. The heart that fears the Lord is reflected in our home. How we speak to our husbands or wives, or how we deal with our children, how we relate to our neighbors and organize our home life. Proverbs 31 ends this book of Proverbs with a display of wisdom, not just in our work and our friendships and our words, but in our home life. This is a famous chapter. It's the Proverbs 31 woman. Now, I made a promise to my wife once upon a time that I would never preach this chapter on Mother's Day. I could even feel in this room, I started reading, and a few of you ladies just tensed up. In fact, I know several women that say, this is actually my least favorite chapter in the whole Bible. I read it, and I feel like a failure. I feel guilt, I feel shame because I don't measure up, and I see all of these things, and I feel like I have to keep a checklist of all of these things if I really want to be a godly woman. Well, friends, that's not what Proverbs 31 is about. Proverbs 31 is actually a call to all of us, both men and women, to direct our hearts towards God and to live our home life in a way that shows His wisdom to the world. There's a few things we need to know about this chapter before we actually walk through what it's instructing us in our home life. And these should be up on the screen here. The first is that when we come to a chapter like Proverbs 31, we need to remember that this is Scripture. It's not just suggestions for a better life. Whenever we come to a portion of God's Word that maybe kind of rubs us the wrong way, kind of maybe creates some tension in our heart, what needs to change is not the Word of God. What needs to change is my heart. This goes for all of us in all of Scripture. When I come to something that doesn't seem to match my expectations, am I willing to submit my life to God's Word, or am I trying to make God's life or God's Word come in accordance with my life? We should not see this as something that is meant to just suggest a better way, but this is God's prescription, God's plan for wisdom. This passage is also poetic. It's not prescriptive in commanding us to do things. In fact, this is actually an acrostic poem. If you know what an acrostic is, it's 22 verses. There's 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. The first verse begins with the Aleph, the first letter. The second verse begins with Bet, the second letter. Just like we would go through A through Z, this passage goes A through Z in the Hebrew alphabet. In fact, anytime you read something in the Old Testament and there's 22 verses, it's probably an acrostic. It's meant to be poetic and to reflect on God's character. So we should see this not just as a list of things to do. It's not telling us something. It's poetic and reflecting the character of Lady Wisdom. I kind of spilled into the next one, but this list is also about the character of a godly woman. If you see the opening verses, it talks about the heart of her husband trusts her. At the end, she fears the Lord. The passages bookend with a call to godly character. Ladies, when we come to this passage, I said we, I'm not a lady. When you come to this passage, church, when we come to this passage, we don't see this as a checklist. Okay, I've got to get up at 5 a.m. or I'm a failure. My arms aren't very strong, so I better get some dumbbells so I can go. Boy, I need to get into real estate because she's purchasing property. That's not what this passage is about. It's about the character of a woman who loves the Lord. This is also a personification of wisdom reflected in the entire book of Proverbs. Everything that this woman does in this chapter, God has already spoken about through the entirety of Proverbs. Wisdom in purchasing and wisdom in hard work is seen in Proverbs. Wisdom with your words is seen throughout this entire book. In fact, if you want to do a good study on your own, and I'd recommend this, you can make a note if you're a note taker, look at Psalm 111. Psalm 111 actually is a wisdom poem, it's a hymn on the character of God. And everything that God is described as in Psalm 111 is reflected in Proverbs 31. This is a personification of God's wisdom demonstrated in this godly lady. This is not a promise, meaning if you insert action A, that you'll receive result B. In fact, you can be a godly woman in your life and not have your husband and children praise you. You could try to do some of these things and the results don't work out in the way you expect. We need to see this as a display of God's wisdom, a personification of who God is and his desire for our lives. Not a promise, if you follow this formula, you'll get this result. The other thing that is very important for us to know is that this chapter is actually written for men. It's not written for moms. Some of you say, whew, what a sigh of relief. The reason why is because as an acrostic poem, it's also chiastic in structure, meaning that the emphasis of the poem is right in the middle. If you look in verse 23, it says that her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. Several Bible commentators have mentioned, I think this is right, that this passage is actually instructions to young men about what kind of wife you need to marry. This is instructions for young people as you grow up and are looking for marriage, looking towards family. This is the type of woman you should seek out. This is a call for men to think about their families, for men to think about how they care and they support their wives. This is not a mommy checklist. Especially to the moms here, I want to free you from Proverbs 31 guilt this morning. This is not a list for you to measure up. But what is this passage about? It's actually a passage that points towards the gospel. You see, this and all of Scripture is meant to point us towards Christ. When you see something in Scripture that makes you see that, man, I fall short of God's wisdom. I maybe don't live up to something. That actually should point you to the Lord Jesus. That's the reason he came, is because we're not perfect. The reason he came is to redeem us and to shape us to become more like him. If you read this chapter and you feel, man, there's an area in my life where I might be not showing wisdom in the way I should, it should call you to Christ, not to trusting in yourself. This passage is also about the glory of God. It's seen in the celebration of the character that God celebrates. Young men, who are you going to marry? You should look for a Proverbs 31 type young lady. Girls, who are you becoming? You should look at the wisdom of this woman in Proverbs 31 and say, that's the type of character I want to see in my life. That's the type of love for God I want to have in my life. If you're already married, you can ask, am I pursuing this? Am I living out God's wisdom in my relationship with my spouse? If you're a single, how can I encourage this type of character among the people in my church and in my life? This is about the glory of God. This chapter is also, as I've said, about genuine wisdom. You can fake wisdom in some of your life. You can put on a show in a certain part of your life, but when it comes to home and family, the real person is going to be seen. The heart comes out in your home. And that's my main idea. That's my call to us this morning as we come to this chapter and kind of bookend Proverbs together, is that we can see that wisdom in my heart is displayed by wisdom in my home. Wisdom in my heart is displayed by wisdom in my home. There's six portions of this chapter that we're going to walk through if you're a note taker. First is that we see about Lady Wisdom that she has a certain inclination in verses 10 to 12. This woman is described as an excellent wife. It's the same Hebrew word, the same root for valor. If this word was used for men, it would be the word for a mighty warrior. She is a barbarian princess, you might call her, if you know that term. In Ruth 3:11, this is what Boaz uses to describe Ruth. When he says that Ruth is a worthy woman, it's the same phrase as an excellent woman. She is one who is valued and treasured because she loves God. It's not a stretch to speculate that this woman could be modeled after Ruth. So many of the characteristics of the Proverbs 31 woman is seen in the life of Ruth. An excellent wife, who can find? It doesn't mean it's impossible. It means that an excellent wife, a woman of valor, a woman who is worthy, is a treasured rarity. A godly wife is a gift from God. Wisdom in your life, wisdom in your home is a gift from God. She has incredible value. She is far more precious than jewels. Maybe your Bible says more precious than rubies. It's a precious stone, something that's to be prized and guarded. Just as you would hold on to God's wisdom in your life, you prize and treasure a godly woman in your life. Men, if you have a woman of noble character in your life, next to God, she should be your greatest treasure. Men, maybe you have a possession that's a prized item. Maybe it's a car you inherited from a father or a grandfather. Maybe you have a special gun or a weapon. Maybe you have a collectible. One of my most prized possessions is a Michael Jordan baseball card that I got for my 10th birthday. And I've hung on to that, and I looked it up on eBay, and it's worth 10 bucks. But it's a prized possession in my life. But friends, let me tell you, a godly woman in your life is far more valuable than a $10 Michael Jordan baseball card. She is to be prized and treasured. Why? Because she's trusted. She's trusted. She doesn't seek her own good, but that of her family. A godly woman with wisdom on display seeks the good of others. Her inclination is to bless people in her life. She does her husband good. She does her children good. She is a blessing to him. This is a reflection of God's design for marriage. God's design for marriage is not two independent agents that just share an address, that happen to share a mailbox to save on rent. God's design for marriage is a cooperative, complementary design. Husband and wife working together, with the husband taking dominion and leading, and his wife coming alongside him as a helper, and together they are co-regents over this earth that God has created. The woman's intention are not her own ambitions. It's not her own desires. Her inclination is toward her family. And in so that multiplies her impact. Friends, in our culture, there's two wrong views of marriage, and they keep coming back and cycling in different ways. One view, as I've said, is just two independent agents. We're just kind of about our own thing, and we happen to cohabitate when it's convenient. The other view of marriage, which is also wrong, and it'll come around in different cultures, is that she is subservient to him. She is underneath him and below his feet, and he dominates her. That is not God's plan or God's design at all. She is made in the image of God and worthy of value and dignity and respect. She is prized far more than jewels. She works hard and blesses her family and her community, but her home is at the center of her life. From her home, she multiplies her impact. God's pattern and design in both the Old and the New Testaments is for women to be inclined first to the home life. In Titus chapter 2, when it speaks of discipleship in the church, older women are to model and to teach younger women how to be keepers of the home. It doesn't mean that we don't work. It doesn't mean that you can't have a career. But it means that the godly woman knows that her first priority is towards her family. Her husband trusts her because he knows she's not about herself. Man, if you have a godly woman in your life, prize her. treasure her. Wisdom in our lives, wisdom in the home, has an inclination towards family, not towards self-ambition. The gospel in our home, the gospel in our life, transforms our inclinations. It helps us see that rather than my own selfish ambitions, rather than my own desires, I serve and I love and I reflect a complementary design just as Jesus did. Is Christ at the center of your home? Another thing we see in this woman is in verses 13 through 18 is that she takes initiative. Lady Wisdom takes initiative. Though her inclination is to her home, that doesn't mean she just sits around and watch soaps all day or whatever it is now. Scroll your phone and order stuff on Amazon. This lady takes initiative. She is busy. You could say she is not a sluggard or a sluggardess, if you will. She takes initiative to head off disaster. All of these things that are mentioned of Lady Wisdom here require planning ahead. Wool and flax, food and clothing. Like a busy ant in Proverbs, she works hard because she knows if she doesn't now that disaster will come in the future. She takes initiative to provide for her family. I see this so often reflected with me and the boys. When it's just me and the boys, the laundry and the grocery shopping get neglected. We don't take initiative to head off the potential disaster that is awaiting us. It happens, you open the fridge and like, oh, there's nothing here. Guess we're ordering pizza tonight, boys. That's not wisdom on display. This woman, this godly woman, looks ahead and takes glory and initiative and variety to be a blessing to her family. The merchants that come and go, the vineyards that are worked and tilled, all speak of differing things by trade and by work. She takes initiative to bless other people. This variety in her life, the variety that she brings through initiative, is actually for joy. It's for good and for a blessing of others. I learned this really early on in my marriage of how my wife exemplifies wisdom in ways that I don't. One night, I thought I was going to be a helpful husband. I said, I'm going to make burgers for dinner. And I made burgers. I grilled the meat, and I served a burger, and she looked at me, and she said, where's the side? What do you mean, the side? Well, you made burgers, but where's the salad? Where's the side? I was like, well, the salad's on the burger. Right? There's lettuce, there's pickles, there's the dressing can be the mustard. She's like, well, what about the fruit? I'm like, well, tomato's a fruit, right? I learned very quickly that it takes hard work, it takes planning to bring together a total package of a meal that's a blessing, that's a delight to other people. Verses 15 through 18, we see her initiative of getting up early and working late. She doesn't waste her time. The lamp that could go out speaks of disaster. The Lord Jesus told the parable of the 10 virgins and how 5 didn't plan ahead and their lamps went out and disaster came because they weren't prepared. Lady Wisdom does all of these things and plans ahead because she knows hard times are coming. And this is so other people get the blessing. When she provides for her maidens, it means that she is not just looking out for her own interests, but all that she may impact. This indicates she's a woman of some means. Perhaps Lady Wisdom here is royalty. But even though she's a woman of status, even though she's a woman of wealth and a woman of means, she doesn't use it for her own comfort. She uses position, she uses influence, and whatever means God gives her to bless other people in her life. Friends, wealth magnifies the true character of the individual. Sometimes people say, well, I would be generous if I had more. But since I don't have much, I've got to think about myself first. Friends, if you are stingy with little, you'll be stingy even if you have much. But if you're generous in all aspects of life, it will magnify its impact to other people. Don't think that if you get something later, your character will change. Work on your character now so it can be a blessing to other people. Wisdom in the home is seen by taking initiative. Not focusing on now, but the future. As believers, friends, the gospel transforms us to become a people of initiative. You see, we receive the grace of God in our lives, and we haven't earned it, and we manifest that grace by working hard to bless other people. We take that grace that God has shown us, and we labor, and we take initiative so other people can experience this grace. As the Lord Jesus took initiative in our salvation, we take initiative in our homes for others' good and for others' joy. We see also this woman, Lady Wisdom, that in verses 19 through 22, that she shows wisdom in her industry. She's industrious. She's known by hard work. Her hands are emphasized. She puts her hands to the distaff, her hands to the spindle. This is part of making clothes. This is before you could go to Walmart and buy shirts for your kids. This is before you could get on Amazon and scroll a whole bunch of different pants and order different sizes and hope something fits. This woman, though she is of influence, though she is of wealth, though she is of means, is not afraid to get her hands dirty. She labors and works. But it's not just for her own wealth and for her own accumulation. As she labors, as she rolls up her sleeves and gets after it, it's to be a blessing to other people in her life. She opens her hands to the poor. She reaches out her hands to the needy. She extends her life to bless people in need. This is not long-distance ministry. Lady Wisdom here doesn't just see a commercial of people hurting and say, "Oh, I'll just write a check, and that's good enough." No, she actually embodies the love of the Lord Jesus Christ to people who are in need. As the Lord Jesus Christ came to those who were poor, as the Lord Jesus Christ came to those who were in need, so does wisdom. She clothes her family not in drab, but in scarlet and purple. This takes trade, planning, not just to help with needs, but also to bring a bonus of joy in our lives. One great example of that is Christmas decorations, right? I know some guys helped yesterday, but come on, guys, if it was up to us, how would this church be decorated? Right? We'd have a guy and I were talking, it's like we'd have one little Charlie Brown Christmas tree right here in the corner, right? That'd be about all that we could pull off. But because of godly women in our life, they bring joy through labor, joy through hard work, joy in blessing others. Wisdom in the home is actually a wisdom that's at work. It's not isolated. It's not shut into self. It's not just looking out for number one. But it works hard so other people can have a blessing. The blessing of serving the poor, the blessing of bringing joy and delight in our life. Friends, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ, the gospel actually should shape our lives to give us an industrious, hardworking spirit. As Christ embodied loves, he brought the love of the God to those who are in need, so we do as well. We roll up our sleeves and we get to work because God has blessed us. We also see in verse 23 that this Lady Wisdom has an impact because of her influence. Her influence. Verse 23, her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. You would think immediately of Boaz in the book of Ruth. And again, another connection of Proverbs 31 and of Ruth and Boaz. Boaz was known in the city gates. It's a place of prominence, a place of position, a place of influence. Some have seen this verse and kind of wondered, why is it here? It feels out of place. We're talking about Lady Wisdom, and then suddenly there's a verse about the husband in the middle. The reason why, I think, there's twofold. One is, as I've said, this is an instruction to young men. If you want to be a man who lives your life, if you want to be a man who has influence among other people for the glory of God and the good of others, the type of woman you marry matters. that your wife, next to your decision to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, who you marry is the most important decision in your life. And here, he is in a place of prominence because he has married a godly woman, and her impact has multiplied beyond her home now into his influence in the community. Friends, show me a woman, or show me a man of great influence. And if he's married, I'll show you a godly woman who's behind him. But you show me a woman who is not behind her husband, who's not supportive of him, who cares about her own desires, I'll show you a man whose influence in the community is limited. We see that today in all spheres of life. If you don't lead and treasure your wife, if you don't protect her and provide for her, if wife, you don't come alongside your husband and support him, your influence beyond your family will be limited. Though culturally, the woman couldn't be at the city gates in that time, she couldn't run for city council or mayor back in the day, the principle is true here that because she is committed to her family, she's committed to her home, her influence multiplies beyond herself. Your home life will have ripple effects into your public life. In the New Testament, there's qualifications for elders that are given to Timothy and to Titus, elders in God's church, men who will lead the work of the gospel proclamation. And one of their primary qualifications is that they have to be leaders in their home. Their wife has to be a godly woman. Her industry, her initiative, her inclination results in broader influence far beyond what she could possibly have on her own. Friends, wisdom in the home is actually seeing that my influence in how I love my husband, how I love my wife, how I raise my kids is going to have a greater influence far beyond myself. It gives meaning to marriage. You see, the gospel shows that marriage demonstrates Christ's love for the church. Ephesians 5 unpacks this in saying that as Christ loved the church, as he gave himself for her, so husbands should love their wives and give themselves for their wife. And as the church should submit to Christ, as the church should follow Christ's leadership, so too should wives submit to their husbands. And together, God is glorified far beyond what either of them could do by themselves. Just as a local church should not seek its own brand, a local church doesn't build its own kingdom. We're not about the brand of College Heights here. We're not about the brand of the kingdom of CHBC. We're about Jesus Christ. We're about Christ's kingdom and Christ's name. And through submitting to Christ, Christ is known, and his ways and his word is declared far beyond what either of us could do by ourselves. The wise woman realizes that her influence goes far beyond herself. We also see that Lady Wisdom shows wisdom in her life and her integrity. And her integrity in 24 through 29. This is where you see some of that structure of the emphasis being in the middle of the husband known in the gates, and you kind of have that clothing theme again, where it's popping back up. But rather than just being clothed with purple or with red, she is clothed with something far greater. Strength and dignity are her clothing. She has integrity all throughout her life. Her words have impact because they're words of wisdom. She speaks the truth of God. She laughs at disaster to come because she is trusted in God and her hope is secure in him. When she opens her mouth in verse 26 with wisdom, the teaching of kindness is on her tongue because she knows God's words. Men who have godly wives, how often do our godly wives speak truth to us when we need to hear it? This happened this week. I was going to do something, and my wife kind of gave me a little foot tap and gave me the look. And she kept me from doing something that would have been foolish. Even though she didn't say it, the kindness of knowing God and knowing his ways helped me focus on the things of truth. If you are a godly woman, if you love the Lord Jesus Christ, your character and your integrity is going to be seen in how you speak with words. And ladies, let me encourage you on this, that you can have far more impact when you speak the truth with kindness, with graciousness, and with gentleness. And it's reflected in your life in a way that brings glory to God, and it inspires people to worship Christ. This woman, this Lady Wisdom, she's the same person in private and in public. She has integrity with the merchants. She has integrity in her household. And though her husband is godly in this chapter, her integrity is not dependent upon her husband. He is a godly man here, but her duty to be a lady of wisdom is the same regardless of how he acts. 1 Peter chapter 3 tells us this. In fact, take your Bible and look at 1 Peter 3 and see how Peter reflects on this and tells women of the New Testament, women of his day, to think about how we live with character and with integrity. In 1 Peter chapter 3, in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trial, Peter reminds godly women, godly Christian women, of this. He says in 1 Peter 3, 1, likewise, wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that, even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives. So when they see your respectful and pure conduct, do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves by submitting to their own husbands. As Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening. And likewise, husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way, showing honor to the woman as a weaker vessel, since they are heirs with you of the grace of life, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Live with integrity in your home. If you are a woman whose husband is not walking with the Lord, it doesn't matter what he's doing, you pursue Christ. If you are a husband who has a godly woman in your life, you should live with her in an understanding way. And even if she is not walking in a way to honor Jesus, even if she is straying, you honor her and you treasure her, because her design is different than yours. And you love her and you care for her. You praise her and treasure her more than rubies, so that your prayers may not be hindered. Maybe here you're today and you're a man who professes Jesus as your Lord, but you're not living with your wife in an understanding way. God says he will not hear your prayers. Live with your wives in an understanding manner. This woman is adorned with strength and dignity. She's adorned with her character. We see that she loves the Lord Jesus Christ, and her integrity is seen through and through. In fact, her character is so strong that her children rise up and bless her. Her husband praises her. You can fake it with others, but you can't fake it with your family. Your kids will know who you are. They celebrate her impact, the impact of wisdom in the family. Wisdom in the home is seen with integrity in all your dealings, because you know the word of God. You speak the word of God. Friends, because of Jesus, the gospel gives us genuine integrity. It transforms our dealings with others. It transforms our dealings in our home. It allows us as men to live with our wives in an understanding manner. It allows women whose husbands aren't living after the Lord to follow the Lord Jesus, because they've been saved by Christ. And he is their Lord and their master, no matter their situation. Oh, friends, whether you're married or single, whether you're hoping to be married, or maybe even as these holidays come, you're grieving the loss of a loved one, Keep your hope on Christ. Keep your hope in the Lord Jesus. He will never leave you and he will never forsake you. Let the character of your heart and your love for Christ be shown so that it blesses everyone around you. We see this woman, that her incentive, the reason why she does all these things, her work, her attitude, her integrity, her incentive, her motivation is not wealth, it's not position, it's not influence. Her incentive is the Lord. She fears the Lord. And that's why she deserves praise. I think this is the narrator that's speaking in verse 29. It's the Lord actually speaking, just as Peter does. Many women have done excellently, and you surpass them all. That's her husband. But then 30 and 31, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain. Can you imagine a husband saying that to your wife? Well, charm is deceitful, honey. Beauty is vain, and you ain't got much of that. But since you love Jesus, that's good enough for me. Don't try that, fellas. That's not good marriage advice. But what you can say is, looks may be fading. Beauty may come and go according to this world standard, but you love Christ. And I see that beautiful love for the Lord, that fear for God. And I prize that and I treasure that so much. Beauty will come and go. Looks will fade. The world standards will change from decade to decade to decade. But a life that fears the Lord will last through generations. This woman is motivated because she fears God. And the impact of her life, the impact of Lady Wisdom is seen in all areas of her life. When it says, you give her the fruit of her hands and let her works praise her in the gate, that means that the life of wisdom is seen in evidenced in everywhere. You don't have to brag, you don't have to boast, you don't have to make sure you're noticed, but her quiet, diligent, faithful spirit is seen by all who come in contact with her. Wisdom's work is self-evident. It's seen over time. And it lasts far beyond the styles that come and go. It lasts far beyond the color of our hair or the physique we may desire. Fearing God will transform generations far beyond even the length of our lives. Friends, the gospel transforms our incentives. It transforms our motivations. Because we've been saved, our greatest desire is to please our Lord and Savior. We fear God and we seek His approval in our home and we seek His approval in our life. And through that, the ripple effects of loving Jesus will go far beyond what we can imagine. As we close, let me give you just a few closing application points and encouragement here. Young people, young men, young women, let me encourage you, commit to being this person and commit to marrying this person. As the mother speaks and encourages the son to look at what type of godly woman he's going to marry, so we should take care to cultivate this character in our lives. Whether you're a young man or a young woman, we should see the character of Lady Wisdom here and all pursue it. Though it's reflected differently in gender and in God's design, every single one of us need to have the right inclinations. Every single one of us should have the right incentives and work hard and desire to fear the Lord. If you're a believer in Christ, commit to marrying a person who fears the Lord. Be a person who fears the Lord in your life. Let me also encourage you, if you have a Lady Wisdom in your life, a mother, wife, sister, daughter, grandmother, praise her and treasure her for her precious value. Let her know how much you appreciate her. There are so many negative messages towards women, especially moms in our culture. They need to be reminded and to be encouraged that what they're doing matters and will last through generations. Thank her for her sacrifice. Praise her for fearing God more than the whims of this world. If you're someone who loves application, go home and pick up the phone and call your mama. Don't just text her, call her. And let her know how much you value her and are thankful for her. She has labored and loved far more than you can imagine. And she probably needs your encouragement. This is not just limited to family members as well. There's a lady wisdom in your life. Thank her for being a godly woman. And thirdly, trust Jesus to make you this kind of person. You see, you can't be this kind of person. You can't live out Lady Wisdom's character in your home life without the work of the gospel transforming your heart. All of these things are a reflection of a heart that loves Jesus. They're a reflection of a heart that fears the Lord. They're a reflection of a gospel-shaped life. You can fake it in one area. You can kind of get by in one area. But all of life, the real person is seen. All of these flow from a heart that fears the Lord, who knows that we need a Savior, and that Savior's name is Jesus. You know that He came to this earth and lived the life that you could not, that He reflected all of the characteristics of Lady Wisdom in His life, caring for those who were separated from God. You know that Jesus Christ took your place on the cross, that He bore the wrath of God in your stead. He was buried in a tomb and He rose again. You've trusted in Christ for your salvation, not in keeping a list of rules. You know that you're saved by grace. That's what allows us to live our lives in a way that's transformed by the gospel. Oh, friends, believe in Jesus more. If you have not yet trusted Him, turn from sin. Turn from trying to keep the rules, trying to live up to an impossible standard, and receive His grace in your life. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, we thank You for the woman who fears the Lord. Wisdom personified, the character of God seen in this chapter. And Father, I pray that we can live with our home life in a way that shows publicly what You've done in our hearts. Father, I pray that our inclinations, our desires can be in the right places. That we can labor hard to bring joy and blessing to others. That, Lord, we'll be motivated to carry Your gospel to those who need it. And that we'll see by ordering our lives in Your way that our influence can go far beyond what we can imagine. God, I pray for our marriages. I pray for our families. I pray for our young people that they can grow up to have this type of character, whether they're men or women. I pray, Lord, that they can marry godly spouses who fear the Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray Your comfort on those who are missing a godly spouse in their life. Maybe they're single through Your design. Maybe You have called their spouse home. But help them know, Lord, as we come into this holiday season, that You will never leave them, that Your comfort is always near, and that You love them far more than they can possibly imagine. Thank You for Your grace, O God. In Jesus' name we pray.